Tonight I'd like for us to look at what is written in God's Word. Tonight we will look at three passages. One will be in Luke, one will be in Romans, and one will be in Acts. The first one in Luke will be Luke chapter 23. Did I get this right? Luke chapter 23. We begin reading down in verse 26. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon of Cyrene, coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people, of women, who also bewailed and lamented him. And Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For, behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts which never nurse. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments, and cast lots. And verse 46 says, verse 45 says, And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the spirit. Now we turn to Romans 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then, turn to Acts, back to Acts a little bit, to Acts 4 and 12. And listen to these famous words that were spoke by Peter. And it reads this way, Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, that we can turn to it and we can know the mind of you, our God. We can know your mind. We can know your last word on whatever there is in the world that we need to know, especially about salvation and what's going to be. Lord, you've said it, and you've had it recorded that we might know it, and we thank you so much for it. And Lord, as we look into your word this evening, we pray that each and every one of our minds would be in tune and listen to what your word has to say to us. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. In the passages that I read about Luke's account of our Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross, being crucified, and some of the things that he said. In Romans, we read in Romans where Paul had this to say about the law. It says, Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. And then we looked at what Peter said, that there's no other way, and there's no other name. Now, we live in a world where we feel like we like to have choices. I remember in school, I loved when we had a question with multiple choice. And that's what man likes. They like multiple choices. We like doing the work that I do, being a mechanic. You know, some people like for me to give them options. Can I do this? Can I go this way? Can I go that? What's my options? I hear that a lot. And that's what the world wants. The world wants options. Have you ever been to Disney World. I'm sure we all have. They just got one ride there, Space Mountain, right? No way. They got hundreds of rides. They got thousands of choices of different things that you can do and activities and everything. And the world's not looking just for one corner. They don't like being narrowed down into a corner to where, well, that's the only choice. You mean that's the only thing I have? That's no good. That's no fun. But we're not talking about fun. We're talking about life and death and hereafter. You see, you heard the saying, the buck stops here. Life ends, and then you face eternity. You're not guaranteed to live forever. We have evidence of that just a few days ago. We're not guaranteed to live forever. Everything comes to an end as far as this world is concerned. Now, once we pass out of this world, that which we enter into has no ending. So let's look at what God's word has to say. And in doing that, I'd like to just see if I could give you a little demonstration of thought. The world thinks that there are different ways to be saved, and they want it to be so. They want to be able to work, to do, by following sets of rules. When you were in school, they had rules. No chewing gum, no doing this, no doing that. And there were rules. And the world sets rules because there seems to be, because of sin, anarchy if there are not rules. There is anarchy. But a rule only makes you look wrong when you've done something but the rule says it's wrong. If there were no rules, then whatever you did, nothing would be wrong. But then that would be anarchy. So there are rules. Now, the world likes options, like I said. And they look at the salvation and the death of Christ on the cross. And they said, well, that's just not enough. Maybe I have to do more. Or I don't want to go all the way with that, because if I follow all of that, and if the righteous Son of God had to die because of my sin, then that's cutting it too pointed. You're saying that I'm as bad as murder. I'm as bad as this person. So they like to have alternatives to salvation. Well, let's think about this. And place yourself in the person in this story that I'm going to tell. There was a man who set out with his son to climb a mountain. They traversed for a few days. Finally, they came to the mountain. In the process of time of climbing this mountain, there were other people. There was completely an entire town that decided to climb the same mountain. While they were climbing on their journey, climbing this mountain, they got almost to the top, far ahead of everyone else. And they saw that there was a volcano that was about to erupt and explode. Now, during this time, the son had fallen off into a ledge and his leg had jammed. The man had time that he could run down and warn all the people who were starting to climb this mountain, don't come up. Don't come up. Because if you do, you're going to die. Or he could have taken the time, saved his son, and let the people die. I say, if it was you and it was your son, what would you have done? Would you have left your son, gone down that hill, warned the people so they can escape? Or would you have rescued your son? Think about it. Now, there is only those two things that can be done. You see, the son would have to die because he could never get back on time if he goes to warn the people. Let's think about this. Take it back to the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. Had there been any other way of salvation, don't you think God would have pursued it? Think about that. to leave your one and only son to do this. And listen, we have a promise, those of us that are saved, that the Lord Jesus Christ was never afforded the opportunity to claim. You see, we've been promised that I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord Jesus Christ was not given that. He was not allowed even that. Think about this. He was God's Son, perfect and pure. God looked around the old world. He looked at man in all his total depravity, and there was no other way only that his son would die. And you know what it meant? It meant that his son would have to leave glory. He would come down. He would walk as man. He would be born in the lowliest of places. On top of that, he would die away from him, in a world that hated him, in a world that cried out, crucify him, forsaken by his best and dearest friends, forsaken by his family, forsaken ultimately by God, because of you and I, our sins were placed upon him. So he was left there in a world forsaken of God to die all alone. And God turned his back upon him because of your sin and mine. Don't you think if there was any other way? Think what you have done. And you had another choice, you being that man on that hill. Suppose there had been a third choice. Wouldn't you have taken the third choice? See, you had the choice of your son, save the people, or another choice. Wouldn't you have taken that other choice? Wouldn't you much rather have pursued an alternative course that could do it? And so would God at that being. But there was no other way. There was no other way. God is not mean. God is love. That's what his word says. He loved his son, his only begotten son. But there was no other way. So if there was no other way, how can you and I escape if we neglect to trust the way that he has provided? For Jesus Christ said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, there was no other way but Christ's way. There was no other way. You think within yourself, you would have liked in that story that I told, or I would have liked I had been in that story, or had that been me, that I could have another way. But you see, there was no other way. And exactly what was said by Peter, exactly what he said was true, that neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other way, no other name, no other plan. God didn't have an alternative, a backup plan, or like the world asks, well, they got plan A, and if that fails, plan B. Like when they went into Iraq, they had contingency plans. In case this one didn't work, we fall back on this one. You see, God is God. He is all-knowing. He knows everything. And he looked upon it. Man was sinful. Man had sinned. Proof that man had sinned is death. But there was a law given to show how far we were from his mark. It's like if you saw a line running with a slight wave on it, it's hard to tell that that line is crooked until you take a rule and you put a straight line next to it, then you really can tell how crooked the crooked line is. And that's what the law was doing. The law was given us to show us that we are sinners and that we cannot keep it. And that the law itself condemns. The same law that men who tried to keep the commandments, that same law that they tried to keep, condemns them. Because law condemns. Law has no provision for mercy. Only God has mercy. And it came because of his grace. You see, anyone who tries to follow the law and tries to do good things, they ultimately do something bad in their life. And the law that God gave condemns them. So the law that they would try to keep to say that it would save them is the very thing that condemns them to hell. Only it can be through grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only way. And man is so mixed up in this world. And as I close, I'd like for you to consider this. I started to say it, and I'll say it again, and I'll try and explain it a little clearer. If God the Father turned his back upon his Son because our sins were upon him, if we do not accept that Christ has died for me and I take his blood to cover me because he took my sin, if I take those sins back to myself and I find myself standing before him, not clothed in his righteousness, what can I expect but God to do but condemn me to outer darkness? That's all I can expect. You see, if he had to turn his back on his Son, you think he's going to accept you and I in our sins? He turned his back on his own Son because of our sins. And seeing he did that, he says, how can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How can we escape the wrath of God? Romans speaks to us about the wrath of God. In Romans 1, it gives us a little bit of what the wrath of God is like and how he has turned man over to their own judgment. And in the end, they condemn their own self. You see, if God leaves you to yourself and you choose not to follow his way and you choose to go yourself's own way, you ultimately condemn yourself. John tells us that, and he writes about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he said, he that believeth not is condemned already. So my friend, if you're in here and you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, how do you ever expect to escape God's judgment? But he loves you. He loves you. Romans gives us another verse, says that, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As God commendeth his love toward us. So if you're near a sinner, God loves you and is willing to save you. And the proof of that, he gave his Son for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for how plain it can be when it shows us the truth that you have to show to us. That there is no other way. And that had it been, you would have done it another way. But there was no other way. That had to be the way. And Lord, we thank you for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken our place. And we pray tonight, Lord, that if there's anyone that has not yet made the decision, that is not sure of their place in heaven and being with you for all eternity, oh Lord, may they make it sure tonight and find the love of God shared abroad in their lives. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you so much for your kind attention. You know, if there's anyone, and you're not sure, if there's the slightest doubt, seek someone out tonight. Make it sure. You know, tomorrow may be too late. You don't know. You're not guaranteed. Good night. God bless.